Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and for our night owls, good evening. Welcome to Keeping It Brief. I'm Diane D, and my partner in crime is Weaver of Dreams, a.k.a. Kate, a.k.a. Weave.
Hello, my dear. Hello.
Go ahead. How are you?
Oh, sorry, I'm going deaf, I think. I'm wonderful, thank you very much. I've had a weird day, but hopefully we won't have a weird show. I'll be a good girl.
Well, it's okay, because we always do have a weird show, right? So we got to keep with the rhythm.
True. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
And weird makes it.
Yeah, so, I think it does.
So how are you today? What you been doing?
Basically, I've been working on my crammy. I've got a big wall hanging that I'm making, so that's great fun. That keeps me calm, you know. And that's about it, really. And I've been working on a couple of poems. That's all.
Right.
What about you? And how's your day been?
Oh, my day is good, but I'm boxed in. Mm. I'm moving, so I'm packing. 6 weeks early, I'm packing. That's
oh my
how
goodness.
Excited I am to move.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. So So you're obviously well organized. Yeah, that's a way to be.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a little boxed in, but as long as I got my laptop and myself in a little space, I'm good.
Excellent.
So we had a great show today, too. Like, we got carryovers from our August 17th show of Open Poetry. And we've got some new entries for the theme Japan.
Yes.
And let's hope that someone will call in and join us today. If you feel up to it and you want to call in, we'd love to hear people call in and join us on the show and talk, you know, read your own piece. So if you're listening and you want to call in, the number's been posted. So with that, I guess, girl, we'll just go ahead with the process.
I think we should, yes. Well, here we have the first one up. Give me a moment. Is An Owl's Fantasia 6 by Jack Blue. Would you care to read that, my darling, while I go and get it pasted up in LMB?
Yes, I certainly would.
Thank you.
An Owl's Fantasia number 6 by Jack Blue. Silent flowers madly call the storm and let it crawl all around the ancient sea when their shadows flee from sorrows waving still on the future of my quilt. Let this island melody sail down to infinity through the Siam waves or the brilliant grave, mirroring the little wings afloat with wedding rings. How the meteor breathes, now the meteor breathes, whispers to the seven seas when the flowers dance and sweetly have a glance at rosy reminiscences on the tree. End poem. Now, I enjoyed that. Yes. And did you feel, are you ready to go ahead and share on that one?
Yes, certainly. No problem at all. Well, for a start, that is just, I mean, lovely. An Owl's Fantasia. Silent flowers madly call the storm and let it crawl all around the ancient sea. It flows. Well, it would do. It's the ancient sea. We'd expect it to be flowing a little bit. But it's just lovely. I like this. From sorrows waving still on the future of my quill. So basically, we're talking about writing, I should imagine, with a quill. Sorry,
yes.
My usual, I go into a reverie and forget what to actually talk, sorry. Yes, I think this is beautiful. I love the last stanza, like I love lots of last stanzas. They're wonderful. Now the meteor breeze whispers to the seven seas when the flowers dance and sweetly have a glance at rosy reminiscences twinkling on the trees. Isn't that lovely? Yes, it's full of metaphors, which is something I envy a lot because it gives a certain depth to a poem that, you know, you wouldn't get without that sort of hail towards that. So, yes, I think this is beautiful. Jack Blue, as usual, you've done a wonderful job. And thank you very much. And over to you.
Yes, thank you very much. That was well put. And I'm just, you know, I just love the wording and the metaphors and the imagery and the message, the story behind Jack's writings. And, you know, it's just a delight. Just the rhyming is well done. The message I'm getting out of it is the sorrows of the future will be written by the quill of the writer. And let the island melody sail down to infinity through the cyan waves or the brilliant graves. So it could be either, you know, you have like a fork in the road. It's either the graves or the cyan waves. And, you know, where are you going to end up? It's just well put together and well themed. And I'm inspired by the title, An Owl's Fantasia. I just like the color of that title and how it just gives me a reason to want to read more. It's just very well done. Thank you so much for sending it in, Jack. We really, really appreciate it. So, Weaver, what do we have up next, my friend?
Sorry, I was on mute. Caught myself again. Yes, we have. Well, we don't have, actually. Where is it? Give me a moment. Yes, we have.
Yes, it's up.
Yeah, it's there. It takes a little while, you see. It kind of throws me slightly because in this day and age, you expect everything to be there when, you know, you expect it to be there. And when it isn't, it's a little bit off-putting. Yeah, got it in now. So, an owl's fan... No, that's what's wrong. My blooming system is not sending it. Oh, you've got it on. You got it on late nights. That's okay. So, aim for the sky, the red sun goddess. I will read this if you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't because I can't open it. Oh, dear me. Would you like to go ahead and read this one because I'm not able to open it at the moment?
Okay,
which is
for sure.
Thank you, darling.
I absolutely do that. This is called As I Aim for the Sky, Rise with the Red Sun by Keiku. And it goes like this. My laconic father said, aim for sky, the red sun goddess. The bow in my hand burned against the white of a thousand summers. Susanu tempest pierced by feathered bamboo. Not a breath leaves my lips. End poem. I very much enjoyed that. I'm reading the author's notes. Kyudo is the Japanese martial art of archery, and its emphasis is quite different. It is a sport to train the mind and acquire higher spirituality. One is not measured on if they hit the target or not, but the shagyo process of shooting is carried out. I love this, and the notes in the author's notes just explains it and gives the image that Keiku saw in here and brought to life for us. And it's, you know, for me, it's seeing that the sun has the power. The sun, the red sun guides. And the writer will leave everything in the hands of the sun. Not a breath leaves my lips. There's a spiritualness in here that makes, like, I enjoy looking at the sun and pulling out of the sun the thoughts and stuff that come out for me, and I see that in this piece as well, and it's spiritually very well written. And what did you think, Reader?
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that picture. It's fabulous. I used to practice archery, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. I did bear bow, where you just basically aim up and down and, you know, you hope you get the trajectory right to hit. But it was great fun. But the bow in my hand burns. You've got to be very careful because it does actually burn your arm if you don't let go properly. And I had it was a 40-pound weight I had. And I got myself in some state sometimes. So it is, although it looks to be incredibly graceful, which it is, it can be quite a painful thing if you're not very, very careful. So, yeah, so do tempers pierced by feathered bamboo, not a breath leaves my lips. Yes, that also happens when you're trying to aim properly. You will hold your breath to steady yourself up. I think this is absolutely wonderful. I particularly like that first line. My laconic father said, aim for sky, the red sun goddess. Yeah, it really is very, very, so much put into there with only 36 words. Incredibly clever, I think. But yes, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, very clever. Very, very clever. And you know, like the spiritual advice is, you know, aim for the sky and follow your sun, follow your dreams. Aim for the sky is the spiritual message that it gives and the advice that it gives. Beautiful message. Great, great, right, Keiku? Thank you for sending this in. And where are we headed next? Are you there?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm here. Oh, my goodness. I have to say my computer's playing up at the moment. It won't send anything. I don't know. I've got it there. Give me a moment, my dear. Send? No. I may have to change over to my laptop because this is not working, which is very odd. It never usually gives me any bother, but it is this time.
Okay, I'll go ahead and paste. Weaver, are you able to see the next one? Open it?
I've actually got it here, and I'm trying to send it, but for some reason, was that there? Yes, laughing tool. I got it. Oh, dear me. That's it. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you open it?
Come on. No, it's not opening. Right, I'll try again. Got it. Excellent. Now, I don't know if I've got it in the other board, but I'll check that in a minute. I'll just read this one. Right. Relax. You never know what's going to happen. It's always total chaos. It's wonderful. Right. Walking the streets on an April morn, the ashen sky seems to welcome the harbingers of spring, branching over snow-clad barks, the nascent bloom of cherry blossom enveloped spring snow with warmth. Cashmere puffs afloat on snow, April meltdown. I smile, clinging onto my pink shawl. The nectar of cherry blossom is deep at the base of the petals. Only birds with long, thin beaks can enjoy its subtle, earthy sweetness. Nestled deep, sweet taste of spring, love for a special. End poem. Lovely,
wow.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful, and I love the title, Spring Snow, to start out with. A high bun? I've not read, I think, many of those, high bun, and I really enjoyed this, how it starts out, and it's like a descriptive little story built into, message built in, and it's walking the streets on an April morn. The ashen sky seem to welcome the harbingers of spring, branching over snow. I love the snow-clad bark. That just brings out that image, but it brings out an image in my mind of what I grew up with, snow-clad barks and cherry blossoms. Beautiful, beautiful, right? I smile, clinging onto my pink shawl, the pink of the cherry blossoms, the nectar of cherry blossoms. Is so well described, so well written. For the first high bun, Laughing Soul, you did beautiful work here. Well done. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I haven't heard of a high bun yet before, but it is. I love the effect. It's really beautiful. I like when things are staggered a little bit and it's not just all straight lined. It makes it much more interesting. But this is just beautiful. We're talking about spring. We're talking about cherry blossom. I mean, you can't ask for more than that, can you, really? Cherry blossom is just incredible. I would like that to be on the trees all the time, but it's not, as it just goes. This is beautiful. Patch puffloat on snow. April meltdown. Yes, lovely. And the pink shawl is a lovely touch. I like that a lot. But I also love the fact that we're talking about the nectar of the flowers. You know, I wouldn't even have thought of that. But only birds with long, thin beaks can enjoy its subtle, earthy sweetness. Nestled deep, sweet taste of spring, love for a special. That was beautifully done. I think it's a beautifully written haven, Laughing Soul. And thank you so much for sharing it.
I'm going to have to go and look up the pronunciation of that. I like to know the pronunciations of words.
Yes.
Yes, very well done, very well written, beautiful imagery. Took me way out of here. My boxed in place to a nice snow cherry blossom snow covered. So it's just beautiful. So Weaver, my girl, where are we going next?
we are going. Dun-da-da. Oh, we are going. We're going spring snow. Oh, did we just do that? No, we didn't.
Yes, we just did spring snow. You just recently posted hugs and love. You might want to refresh.
Possibly, yeah. You think I know that by now? Yes, I've done it twice, you silly woman. You have to bear with me. I'm terribly sorry. This is, I've picked it up twice. That's what hugs. So have I put hugs and love up yet at all, anywhere?
Yes, no. It's on Brevity Writers.
Okay. Thank you. That's not going again. Okay, I'll just have to leave it on that one. I'll get back to that in a moment. Okay, here. So you've got it. Would you like me to read it or?
Sure.
Okay.
You betcha. Hugs and Love, Garden by Garden Delight. Open your hands if you want to be held. A Rumi quote. Arms wide, buttered with warm loving, crisp lips, pressed marmalade brow. Snow kitten, snuggle tightly, skin encircles fur, grow roses in his heart before floribunda showers, stolen midnight kisses. End poem. Excellent, right, to the quote. If you open your hands, if you want to be held, and the opening line, arms wide, buttered with warm loving, crisp lips, pressed marmalade brow. This writer is ready to be held, and it shows in this beautifully described brevity of what the writer to be held and the opening to be held. It's just amazing, beautiful metaphor on life. And what did you think of this, reader?
Oh, yes, it's just a lovely brevity, isn't it? That, you know how you see children when they want to be hugged, they put their arms up and out, don't they, which is a lovely sight. So that sort of hug, back to being a child, arms wide, buttered with warm loving, crisp lips, pressed marmalade brow. Ah, it's lovely. Snow kitten snuggled tightly, skin encircles fur. Yes. Again, we have that last stanza, which is so lovely. Grow roses in his heart, beware floribunda showers, stolen midnight kisses. That sounds so sweet, doesn't it? Yes, I think, again, 29 words. That's amazing. You've got so much of talking about a relationship that's warm and loving, and you can get a hug when you need one. I think that's just beautifully done. Really enjoyed it. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Very well put. Now, are we going up next? Where are we going next?
Well, we're going. Oh yeah, we got Fire by Cedar Chapman. I'm just going to put it up in brevity as well. Give me a moment. I will read this one if you want me to. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll say that.
I don't see it posted.
Right. Fire. Well, I can. Give me a second.
There it is.
I've probably done it twice again, don't I? No,
good
I haven't.
Point.
Oh, good. I'm getting better at this. Right. There we are, I've got it. Just my PC's playing up, so please bear with me because it just takes longer than I expect it to. Oh, Cedar Chapman, yes, lovely. Fire. Smoky wisp. Oh, excuse me. Give me a second. I need a drink. 1 second. My mouth is so dry. Oh, and now it's gone. It's back. It is gone. Ah, dear me. This is getting weird today. Right. Smoky wisps curl and withers to wrap hips and thighs. Silver speckles slither and sigh, sliding through crevices. exploring slender curves. Flint pounds on flint like two rocks in heat. Clacks and sparks sashay in a forbidden dance, obsessed to gorge on ember fruit and ignite the torch to ecstasy. End poem.
Awesome read and great write, Cedar. This fired. I remember this this cartoon in the contest, and it was, I looked at it and was like, how am I going to write to that? And then I look at what Cedar did with it and the humor. Flint pounds on flint, two rocks in heat. Fox and sparks sashay in a forbidden dance. This really captured the mood, the humor, the movement, everything within that image. It was all summed up here. Smoky wisp curls and withers to wrap hips and thighs. And yeah, she's standing there with her hand on her hip and he's working away. It's just a great, right? Great capture here, Cedar. I'm really, really impressed. And what did you see in this weaver?
Oh, yes. As you say, the touches of humor are always welcome, I think. And this is no exception. Cedar, beautifully done. I love the lady in the cartoon. waiting for a stick to be lit. And all these guys trying to make fire. There's a little guy with his tongue out. You couldn't help but write something with a little bit of humor in it when you look at that, can you? I just, as you say, I love that line. Flint pounds on flint like two rocks in heat. I was trying very hard not to laugh while I was reading it because I thought it was quite impolite, but it's very funny. It really is. Smoky wisps curl and wither to wrap hips and thighs. Oh, beautifully done, Cedar. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
It was beautifully done. And relating the fire, the igniting the fire and relating that to the passion of the woman with the hips. And, you know, just beautiful, obsessed to gorge on ember for and ignite the torch to ecstasy. I love this piece. I mean, I've always been a fan of Cedar's, but I really enjoyed this piece. And it took gold in the contest. It for sure doesn't surprise me.
No, it does not. Yeah. Just give me a moment. Oh, we have a sound cloud for this one, if I can actually see it. Oh, dear me. Christmas Tree by John Roper. It has a sound cloud.
I don't see it in Brevity.
Yeah, I'm just getting to Brevity.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just did it the wrong way around, as usual. Here we have it.
Hey, Weaver, Diane?
Yes?
Yep.
Just to let you know, you have absolutely no sound clouds in the studio.
Oh.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Pam.
Okay, thank you.
So there is, it says SoundCloud audio link, but we don't have that. So we'll go ahead and would you care to read it, Weaver?
Yes, of course. Oh, it's not opening up. Oh, my goodness. Mm-mm. I will as soon as I can get it open. It keeps going back to the previous one. Yeah, I can. Oh. Right. Don't worry, we'll be there. Yeah, I am definitely having problems with my PC. It's just not cooperating. Now, you see, that's ridiculous. It was there and it's disappeared again. There we have it. Okay. Christmas Tree by John Roper. Sorry, John, for the delay, but I've got you now. Here we go. Next time you walk your dog on the beach, you'll notice that pile of worn-out trees laid out like frozen cadavers on the stiff grass beside the Treasure Island car park. Each night, more shunned guests arrive, pasta sell-by date, thin needles, no blanket against the cold, waiting for the wagon to sweep up and repair the morning view. End poem. Oh, that's sad. I mean, look at the picture. It's actually got all the dead trees, oh dear. Yes, this is really brings to your attention the fact that old gets discarded, Christmas passed far too quickly, and all you have at the end of it is some poor old trees waiting to be picked up and chopped up, and goodness knows what happens to them, poor things. But yes, I'd love this. This is so, it's just full of pathos, but also the fact that he decided to write about it. John, that was wonderfully thought through. I like it very much, the fact that you thought to write about these poor old trees. Beautiful touch. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that.
It is a beautiful, beautiful write, and made front page pick four months ago. And you know what? There's messages in here. This is awesome poetry, and you know you can what you imagine when you're walking your dog on the beach, and what it's. I mean, the rituals and stuff that are in our life. On the song, I want to look that song up, there but for fortune. And it just, the story it paints and the picture it creates with the imagery and everything laid out like frozen cadavers on the stiff grass beside the Treasure Island car park. It's like every night more shunned guests arrive past their sell-by date, thin needles, no blanket against the cold, waiting for the wagon to sweep up and repair the morning view. Just gives an image of, you know, like how we take the nature for granted and take the trees for granted. We just see a worn out pile of worn out trees. But really, what else is in there? I really want to read or listen to this song, because the story in the song is going to bring out more of the imagery. But excellent piece, great piece. I'm really, really impressed. And what did you think, Weaver?
I actually commented on it after I'd read it. So I've done my little commentary. Hello?
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 Oh,
did
I'm
you hear
sorry.
Me?
Yes, what did you say again?
I said that I already commented on it after I read it. So I've done that. I can do it again if you would like me to, but just basically, I thought it was very, very clever. I like the fact that he picked up on those poor dead trees, that Christmas is over and these poor trees are going to get taken off somewhere to be chopped up, which is very sad.
Yes, you did comment on it. My bad.
All right, my dear.
I'm sorry. There's only two of us and I'm getting us mixed up.
Honestly, don't worry about it. With my problem with my PC, you are doing nothing. You're doing wonderfully. I'm just holding up every step of the way. But I've got the next one, which I'm very proud of.
And if you have to, like, log off and log on to a new system or something, like, you know, let me know and we'll work around it.
Okay, darling. I was thinking of that, but it seems to be, at the moment, it's doing what it's supposed to do, which is great.
Beautiful.
So, yes, hopefully it will continue. So the next one is I Lost My Muse Somewhere by Peter Allen. And would you like me to read it?
Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. I will need another drink. I Lost My Muse Somewhere by Peter Allen. Tonight, and I blur in a hazy procession of fog. Fluorescent signs that illuminate my pen are dimmed. Asleep are the color shades and tints that write my poetry. The open hand of my outstretched arm begs a starting line. Music of my muse, pianissimo, hardly heard like the recital of a rosary. Sacramental wine of my intoxication turns into water. I pray under the vaulted arches in a cathedral of shadows. Sunset goes down in a ruddy flame with my verses. On the noisy street where my voice lives, silence reigns. End poem. Over
wow.
to you, babe.
Yes, I'm just, you know, reading the comments on this, and the first comment here, Christopher Sett, you know, mentioned, like, for losing your muse, what a beautiful piece, and where you lost it, you found it, because this is just delightful. Tonight, and I blur in a hazy procession of fog. Tonight and I blur, so coming together out into the night, wondering where your muse is at, wondering where your thought is, where you've lost it. And in the beautiful imagery and metaphors, asleep are the color shades and tints that write my poetry. That is probably one of the strongest, most powerful lines I have written. Shades and tints that write my poetry. Saying there's no words. Absent are the colors, and gone are the tints for writing the poetry. Just abdicating as losing his muse. It's beautiful, and it's just wonderfully done and very, very well written. Thank you very much for sending in this piece, Peter. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I thought it was just lovely. It was lovely. It just, everything there that you feel when you're trying to write and it just out of your grasp, the thought just won't come. I love that. The open hand of my outstretched arm begs a starting line. Because, you know, if you can get that starting line, yeah, you can go from there. But it's never that easy, though, is it really? You're probably like me, you abandon something halfway through because it's just not working. And you know you can't. There's no way. You'd have to get a big hammer and hammer it into place before it would work. So that is just, and I love that, pray under the vaulted arches in the cathedral of shadows. Oh, so sad. But we know, we get out the other end. It happens, even if we do have to have a sip or two of sacramental wine. And his sacramental wine turns into water. That's such a shame. I love that. So cool. Yes, Peter, I'm sorry we couldn't hear you reading this yourself, because you read beautifully. But thank you very much. I'm sorry you lost your muse, and I hope you've got it back. Thank you.
Yes, well said, Weaver. I agree. I just, each line of this is just, it flows into the next, but it stands alone. And I really like the second last line. Sunset goes down in ruddy flames with my verses. Same as, you know, the colors and shades and tints are gone. Well, the sunset went down on the verses, and they're gone as well. Peter, you've really built a beautiful piece here on losing your muse, and to me, almost like a writer's block. And, you know, I wish everyone another 24 hours of no writer's block. And with that, where are we going next?
Well, next we have Hold'em and Fold'em by the writer. So would you like to read this one, my dear?
Yeah, and before I read this one, I'm going to comment on. We have two people listening in here on the board, Chris Tissett and Adam Harkle-Parkle, and one's on a train and one's on a horse. So you can call in at this time. So that's all good. I hope everything just goes well for you guys. Just don't put the horse on the train. That might cause a problem. So hopefully we hear from you guys later. If not, keep listening. We're loving you on the board. All right, where are we going next? We are going to Hold'em or Fold'em by the writer C. Casino. I watched the last tear drop from your eyes. It was difficult when you didn't accept my goodbye. You looked to the future, but I was stuck in the past. Vegas called it even because they didn't know how long our love would last. Wow. I see so much in this piece. I read so much in this piece because I understand the love with the love relationship. You know, hold'em or fold'em, I have played, and I mean, I don't play as much as I would like to because that's not going to make my life very happy if I lose. But there's a love-hate relationship. It's not just a love relationship. There's a love-hate relationship. You know, you can't stop, and you can't start because you won't stop, but you can't stop from starting. It's just amazing what is captured here and revealed in this love relationship. Really well written. I'm very impressed. And what did you think of this, Weaver?
Oh, yes. Exactly as you were saying, that is that love-hate relationship. You know, some people can gamble. They can enjoy it, and they can leave. And that, obviously, is the best way to go. But I have been in casinos, and I've watched people's eyes, and they get the avarice and the adrenaline. You know, they're just amazing. And each time everything goes, they put some more on. I'll have some more chips, please. And I find that so sad for them, you know, because they're going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, well, how am I going to pay the mortgage? No idea. But, yes, I thought it was beautifully done. Thank you.
It was, and you're right. You're so right, Kate, because, you know, people have love-hate relationships, and people have self-destruction with it. And, you know, everybody's at a different level and stuff, and I know people can reach a limit that there's no turning back and there's no undoing. So it's like, but it is a love relationship, and especially if you win, you know, like you just, it's just really so true and so well written, captures the aspect of everything about it. So where are we going next?
We're going to Disturbances by Linda Odomar. Right. Ooh, would you like to read this one, please?
Sure. Disturbances by Linda Odomar. Wing beat, eager sensing like small stones in headwind. It's something that wakes up beyond the clouds and the rain-soaked facade. Facade, a streak of light. Brush stroke. As round circles on the calm surface of the water with trembling lips, high ceiling under cramped walls, nudity, signed unknown, end poem. Definitely has a disturbing tone, disturbances, and gives you that air of something's up. And what would your take on this?
I remember to come off mute. Yes, disturbances. As you say, there is, brush strokes as round circles on the calm surface of the water with trembling lips. So somebody is upset. I would have to, yeah. So we've got the small stones and headwinds, something which you up beyond the clouds and the rain-soaked facade, a streak of life. Well, I'm really just getting angst, as it were, from this. Somebody is trying, you know, trying very hard to get a sort of grip on what's going on, but they're finding it a little bit more difficult than you would expect, I think. And they're not able to control what's around them as much as they would like to, because they want to this work of art to be a perfect work of art, and it's very difficult to control that kind of thing. That's what I'm getting from it. But I would be very interested to hear what you have to say, please.
Well, you know, it's like disturbances in life. Disturbances are all around us. Disturbances in our thoughts. Disturbances in society, in life, in nature, in movement, in color, in everything, we get disturbances. Things are just not there. Things just don't fit for together like that perfectly placed puzzle. And disturbances, they're hard to shake. It's not something that you're going to shake off and just, you know. But in this piece, it captures like high ceilings under cramped walls, nudity, a work of art kind unknown. It's just beautiful the way it captures disturbances and describes unknown. It leaves your imagination to the imagery of what the words are, wingbeats. The imagery is it leaves your imagination to the imagery and does a great job of that. Really well written. Sending that in, Linda. And where are we off to next?
Well, next we have we have this. No, we've had disturbances. Am I looking at the wrong? I thought I'd posted this. Oh, my goodness me.
You did.
There we are. Carnivore. Carnivore Loop A by Dan Ellison. Would you like me to read this one? I will read this one. Okay. Carnivore Loop. Poetry. Without abandon. Free spirit of the earth. Instinct wild and random. Lets none define her worth. Chaotic as whirlwind. Lioness without pride. Her words, razors that rend, will rip you up inside. Muses open horizons, uses prose as scenery. Rhythm a rolling stride as she roars her end poem. Well, over to you, Pam. Over to you, Diane. Sorry.
Well, I enjoyed this piece, the formatting. It's like an infinity sign, and it just kind of goes and loops into an infinity for me. But it's just kind of a low poetry without abandon, free spirit of the earth, instinct wild and random. Like the writer is stuck in a loop or caught in a loop, and where the poetry is just flowing. And her words, razors that rend, will rip you up inside. Muses open horizons, uses prose as scenery. Rhythm a rolling stride as she roars her. Just what a powerful, commanding take on writing and opening up your thoughts and grabbing it and consuming it. It's just amazing job here. And Weaver, what did you think, my dear?
Yes, I mean, I enjoyed that a lot. Poetry without abandon, free spirit of the earth. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it, if you just could write that way without thinking about the end result, but just go for it. Put your thoughts down on paper, or as this would be on a screen, and use your prose as scenery. But yes, this lioness without pride, her words razors that rend, will rip you up inside. So here's somebody who's very powerful, and goes with what they really believe. I like it a lot. I thought it was very good. Thank you.
You're right, and I enjoy like the second line, third line, free spirit of the earth. It gives it that air of wildness. It gives it an air of, and I noticed in the author's notes, the writer was using a loop format, and It does. It's like that infinity of, you know, free spirit of the earth forever. And your instincts are always random and wild and chaotic as whirlwind. It's just like you're looping forever within that whirlwind. And the razors will rip you up inside and use these open horizons. Just some of the imagery and metaphor is just, the poetic devices are just beautiful in here. And did I ask you, my friend? Yes, I did. Now we are off to the next one.
And we have What a Tragedy by Random Scribbler. And would you like to read this? Have you got that on your screen?
I do. What a Tragedy by Random Scribbler. What a Tragedy. Dove in cage, ultimately escapes at liberty, flies high and high. At last, to have a life. Soaring hawk, eye on the dove, pounces on her at one fell swoop. Alas, there goes away her life. End poem. I mean, the title says it all. What a Tragedy. A dove in a cage. A dove sitting in a cage. Gets to escape. Gets to fly as where it wants, as long as it wants, and never return to a cage again. And is just flying innocently. And boom, along comes the hawk. Tragedy. But, you know, that's life. That's life in nature, that's life in science, life in animals, life, you know, that's life and death. And it is a tragedy, but it was so, you know, so well written. And just in 34 words gave quite the story and quite the image of this little dove getting out and then being swooped on by the hawk. Just amazing imagery, great right. And it's like, you know, for me, it's a metaphor. To me, to have a life finally is like, how many times in life do we escape our cages? And we fly high and high and we get to go through life that way. And then, bam, something swoops down on us. And, you know, I personally, I can't say that in my life. In the past 2 years, it's been like that. It's been just everything that's coming down on me is beautiful. I can imagine for people who are like that dove, you know, and life gives them that. It's hard, but very well written, beautiful piece. And what was your take, my friend?
Oh, what a tragedy. I mean, like, such an apt title. I was just, my heart broke for the poor dove. I know it's life. But it's still, I know, until, there's nothing we can do. People, you know, things, people, everybody has to live and eat and eat to live. I understand that. And of course, it is just the way things are. But it's sad. You know, we can forget about it in our day-to-day life, not thinking about what's happening to animals around us without even giving it a thought. But still, when you see that written down, soaring hawk, eye on the dove, pounces on her. Oh, beautifully, I mean, beautifully written. I mean, there's so much emotion comes out of this, which I think is great. If you can affect people with your words to the point where they, like me, oh, no, it's awful. You know, that is a great thing to be able to do. You know, it's dynamic. It's got, anyway, I think it's lovely and lovely in a terrible way. So thank you.
Yeah, lovely in a terrible way. It is a tragedy and really well captured account of it in 34 words.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we going next?
We're going to Melancholia. Melancholia by Barbara G. Would you like to read this?
Can I ask, no, actually, it's your turn. Can I ask you to read and comment on that? And I will be right back.
Of course, no problem. I'm in
Thank
there
you.
Like Flynn. Okay, there, okay. All right, so we have Melancholia by Barbara G. Oh, beautiful picture. In a lukewarm deluge, she leaned against a tree that gave no shelter, bowed her head, studied raindrops streaming down her legs into pools at her feet. Just like the rain, with swollen eyes spilling over, drenched with water and brimming with it, she melted till she blended with the puddles. Waterlogged shoes lay under the tree. End poem. Oh, yes. Now that is full of imagery as far as I'm concerned. It's just so sad that somebody basically doesn't think they're worth anything and decides that probably going away would be the best thing to do. Oh, dear. Yes, some beautiful imagery in here. I just really enjoyed this. Easy to read, very enjoyable to read. But there are so many beautiful stanzas. I mean, I think the last bit really, really telling and really hits you. Waterlogged shoes lay under the tree. Ah, so she's gone. She's melted away. No more worries. Ah, very nice, very nice. I don't know if Diane's back yet. Are you back, my dear?
Yes, I am back, my friend.
Okay. Would you care to comment?
Yes, I would love to comment on this piece. I like the, from the title on, Melancholy Eyes, in a lukewarm deluge. I mean, what says melancholy more than lukewarm? I mean, the words she chose here to capture the title and the image, she leaned against the tree that gave no shelter. And the metaphor that our shelter in our lives are trees. You know, in especially in North America, our shelters our trees are our shelters for a lot of us, and yet there are those without shelters. And melancholy is this person leaning against the tree and knowing there's no shelter there, just streaming down her legs into pools at her feet, raindrops. This really captures the moment, and how much more melancholy can you get than standing in a rainpour? And then she captures the essence of it and the mood of it and the feel of it. It's like, oh, this is just not something I want to feel, waterlogged shoes. But it's like she captures that melancholy with the at the end and wraps it all up with his sloshy shoes, you know, and just really well written, really well said, and word choice was just awesome. And what did you think, Weaver?
Yeah, well, I had already talked about it, I think, haven't I? I think I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, I read it, and because you were away, I talked about it.
Oh, yes, you did. You commented. I am so sorry.
It's okay. No
My
problem.
Bad.
It's okay. So
where are we off to next?
We're off to Forgiveness by J. Rose Anna. What a lovely name. Would you like to read this, please?
I certainly would, my dear.
Thank you.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a special gift. Our compassion heals harbored rifts, releasing hurt and wandered truth, gives kind repose to squandered proof. Illusions lead to vanity, valiance propels to clarity, empathy unlocks sympathy, newfound sense frees antipathy. Embrace your soul, reach out your hand. Let life move on like drifting sand. Show calm, forgive, and let it go. Strength is in you more than you know. The message, I love this message here. J. Rose Anna, just a beautiful message and well written and an important message. For myself and I know for others that I know. You know, like, forgiveness to me was the most important I ever did for myself was forgive others. Because forgiveness is like when you haven't forgiven, you're like a prisoner in a cell, and somebody opens the cell door to set them free, and you realize that prisoner is you. And, you know, forgiveness will free you from that cell, because forgiveness is freeing. And really well written and put together here, and it's an acrostic poem, forgiveness. It's just well written, beautifully done, and the poetic device is just brilliant. Really, really well done. And did I ask you to comment on this, my dear?
No, and I shall do that now. See, we're getting in a rhythm. We're doing well. Yes, forgiveness. Now, that is something that is difficult. But I learned a long, long, long time ago that forgiveness is needed, because if you continue to hate or feel bad about something, you're only hurting yourself, because the person that you may hate is not aware of it. It's going through their life without even a thought. And the only person that is hurting and holding back is yourself. So if you can forgive, it gives you a feeling of completeness. You've done what you need to do. You can put it behind you and carry on. But if you don't, it just eats at you like a canker. It's just awful. I know. I've been there. I think a lot of us have been there. But it's the ability to forgive. And this has been written so beautifully that you would have to want to now, because you've read this. To forgive everybody that's given you anything that would make you feel sad. So I just thought it was lovely. Embrace your soul, reach out your hand, let life move on. You see, let life move on, like drifting sand. Show calm, forgive, and let it go. Strength is in you more than you know. Yep. Says everything for you, doesn't it? So yes, we need to forgive more than we do nowadays, yes. Thank you very much for that. J. Rose Anna, I love your name, and I really enjoyed your poetry.
Wow. Well, Weaver, I totally agree with what you said there, and I liked that line you read, let it go like the sand, you know, like dissolving sand. It's, you can't change anything. You cannot control anything. You can never do anything, change anything. All you can do is accept. And really, believe me, your past is your greatest asset. And when you accept and forgive, it's a formula, a recipe for peace of mind. And who doesn't want peace of mind? I mean, how many times do we lay awake at night worrying and anger about this resentment and anger about that? And if you just forgive and let it go, let it dissolve with the sand. Well put, well written, and great description there to carry such a powerful, wonderful message. And where, my dear, are we off to next?
Oh, well, I think this one might be a little bit sad. My Tear by Marius Alexandru. And I will read this one. Okay, my tear. Oh, right. My tear rests on a tender rose petal among the sisters, the dewdrops, and bathe together in the early morning sun, trying to forget all the pain of the night. Later it melts in millions of lights, grows wings and flies happily into eternity.
Oh.
Mm.
Did you want to go ahead and comment on that?
Yes, of course. My tears rest on a tender rose petal. So yes, this is just beautiful. It's basically saying that the pain of the night will melt away, grow wings and fly up. So yes, there's always a chance of the pain you feel being forgotten when the sun comes up. It can happen. And obviously here it has happened, which is a lovely insight into what you should be doing with your life. Don't be thinking of the past. Don't be thinking of the hurt, but grow wings and fly happily into eternity. So yes, beautiful. So, I mean, there we're talking about 44 words and you've got all of it. All this person has been through, what they felt, and the knowledge that things will get better is there. So I think it's beautifully written. Thank you very much, Marius.
It is beautifully written, and it captures, you know, it captures that sadness inside you, and when you do have tears, and the journey of the tear, you know, going down the cheek and everything, and when you start with the tears, you're at a powerless place. You're at a place of, you know, a place of you've kind of hit bottom when you come to tears, and then later, you know, it melts in millions of lights, grows wings, and flies happily into eternity. And that's the resolution, and that's the process that we go through. That's the human process. The tear is also our mood, our grind, our daily, you know, it's my tear for me is my process of, like the previous poem talked about, letting it teardrops and melts and flies happily into eternity, the person is able to let it go. The process of grief recovering from something is just a beautiful metaphor for processing that, you know. But you did comment on this, my dear. Now, where are we happening to go next?
Well, we're going Flash by Alchemist. That sounds like it should be very interesting. Would you like to read that one, please?
Flash. Scaffold existence. Surrender. Shine bright through dark night. Remember the light. Overwhelming heat rises, face burns, feels, head off frustration, fan flame, encourage inferno, wipe away what was with paper towel. It's that simple. Allow, be cool, it's your nature. Wow, now I enjoyed that piece. Really good word choices. Is colorful and not even with color mentioned in here. Well, you know, dappled existence, surrender, shine bright through dark night. Remember the light. The message of surrender is there today, isn't it? It's a theme coming up by itself in our writer's pieces here today. Surrender, shine bright through the dark night. Walk through that darkness and remember the light. And how many times, like I said earlier, our past is our greatest asset. You remember the light from your past as much as you can remember the light, as much as you can remember the dark. It's a choice. And just going on, overwhelming heat rises, face burns, like a hot flash, you know. And encourage inferno. Allow it to happen. Allow that flash to happen. And wipe away what was with paper towel. It's that simple. And I really enjoyed this piece and smile now that I've read it a second time, because flashes in life, can take you to different places. Not always the best. So we're... what's your take on this, reader?
Yes, I think I'm thinking the same way you're thinking. Because we have this overwhelming heat rises, face burns, you feel fed up and frustrated. You fan the flame. You can't help it. When you get to that stage in life, you can actually start to get very annoyed at the very least of things that, you know, that you would normally not even think about. So you encourage the inferno. You can't help yourself. But then, as Alchemist says, you just wipe it all away. It's that simple. And be cool. Well, as far as I'm concerned, always carry a fan with you. That would help a lot, I think. But it is your nature. I think this is beautifully written. It's the message is all there, but nothing is actually said. If you know what I mean, outright. It's all imagery. It's all, you can take what you want from this But it's just really well written, and I love the way it's laid out in front of you there. I like that a lot. So yes, Alchemist, you almost turned this to gold. You probably will. But yes, thank you very much. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was really well written indeed. And where are we going next?
We're going to Gander Glides by Silent Tree. And I will read this. Gander Glides, Silent Tree. Brick Chateau, Bluff's Russet Tiled Rose, Scion-stained Weave Latticework Panes, Pallid Foul-Feathered Gander Glides, Palmitate Pleats, Meander Miles, Rice Paper, Millstones, Riverlets Repose, Colors Ferment, Brood, Algae Blooms.
Beautifully read. Beautifully read. And I don't know if you can click on the contest it was in and see the prompt. So beautifully captured. Brick Chateau Bluffs Russet Tiled Rose. There's an image there of houses on a brick, on a brick houses on a brick street, and brick, the swans are gliding through the water. And I don't know, I think gander has to do with swans. I don't know if that word, but it just comes to me from my Newfie heritage that gander is like a swan. They glide. Cyan stains weave latticework panes. I don't know if you saw that image, but it's like it captures every single thing in that image. Palmated pleat meandered miles. And the alliteration, gander glides, meandered miles, revulet repose. Just amazing. Ah, there we go. Our friend Pam, see, there's the wisdom. In the on the topic board, says gander is, let me see here, gander is a male goose. And I knew that. I mean, I'm Canadian. We have Canadian, we have the Canada goose. I should have known that. I didn't know, but we used to always talk of gander, the gandering gooses, and look at them gander. And that was our slang. And so that just kind of rang in for me. But thank you, Pam. That's awesome. I knew that word had some kind of meaning there. But yeah, so what was your take on this, my girl?
Yes, I finally got it. That it was a male. I knew it was a bird like you did, but yes, gander glides. I haven't seen the prompt of the contest as yet because I'm a little bit busy here trying to get my computer to play nice games with me. So, I can see it all. Brick Chateau, Bluff, Russet, Tiled Rose, Pallid Foul Feathers, Gander Glides. Yes, it's just beautifully written, isn't it? I just love the imagery here. Rice Paper, Millstone, Rivulet, Repose. I'm just a sucker for that last line. Colors ferment, brood, algae blooms. Beautiful, really beautiful. And yes, again, 30 words to conjure up this gander doing his little thing. So I thought it was beautiful, Silent Tree. I really enjoy it. It was lovely and beautifully read too. Thank you.
Yes, it was a definite beautiful piece. And when you get a chance, grab a look at that image, because Silent Tree just did justice to that image and justice to the piece where it could easily have been alone as well. So, my dear, where are we headed next? I see you have Dumb Bluebird up by Dan Ellison.
I do. Would you like to read that?
I certainly would. Dumb Bluebird. I had a bluebird in my heart, and I listened to its song. My poor heart was ripped apart, my dumb bluebird dead wrong. So I suffocated it to sleep and learned to be more wary. stitched my heart up where I now keep a quiet mining canary. End poem. Oh, I like it. I knew I was going to like it as soon as I read the title. Dumb bluebird. A dumb bluebird in his heart. And the song ripped the heart apart. Dumb bluebird was dead wrong. Just a real good metaphor there for a dumb bluebird moving on to a canary. If it ain't working, if it ain't flowing, it ain't going. And if the dumb bluebird ain't doing it, then move on to the canary. I just love this piece. I got smiled from the time I read the title to the end. Really well done. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yeah. I liked it so much. Like you, I thought, yes, this is going to be good. But when you get to this, a quiet mining canary, I thought that was so clever. But I suffocated it to sleep and learned to be more wary. Wow. So a bluebird in his heart led him the wrong way. And it wasn't what it was supposed to be. It was dead wrong. So, yes, I think this is beautiful. And I enjoyed it very much. I just thought it was very, very clever. I love it. I mean, to get that dumb bluebird in your head and then write something like this is just very, very clever. Thank you very much, Dan.
Very well said, too. I just, that piece made me smile, made my day. I really enjoyed it. And what do we have coming up next?
Well, I need to know what spamming means before I get kicked out. You have to explain yourself, Arco.
No spamming or I'll kick you out. Oh, goodness. What? Adam, you just... Too funny.
Yeah. I don't know what spamming is, Adam, so you're going to have to educate a little old lady because I have no idea.
Spamming is like when you get a text from somebody that is some company trying to sell you something, or spam is like just, or somebody tries to get you to enter your bank card. They try to spam you for money and stuff.
Okay. All right.
All those emails you get from places that just come into your computer and send you an email from out of nowhere, that's spam.
Yeah. I understood that in as much as I don't know what I've done. Okay. Adam, no spamming.
No spamming.
No spamming.
No spamming allowed on Keeping It Brief.
Oh,
okay. Where are we going next?
We are going to Let's Make Noise by Sujathi Five. I'm sorry, my mouth is so dry. I can't talk.
You want me to read it?
Oh, yes, please, yes. We could. Thank you.
Absolutely, my dear. Let's Make Noise by Sujathi Five. Let's take a two or three. Let's make noise. My feet taking fast steps. Now, but all now. Let's hold on arms, sway our feet, clap our hands. Oh, that music of fine tunes makes me fly light. I want every day music, shade of light on us, like streaks from stars, energy burning strong. Keeps my heart a-go, going to grab the microphone, throw my voice out. Let's make noise. End poem. Alrighty, Sujatha Five, I agree with you. Let's make noise. You know, there's so much energy in the noise, so much life in making noise. Silence is golden, but silence is not a fun party sometimes. And when you make the noise in music, you know, music does that. Music has that power. Music is not noise. Music is a rhythm. Music is a mood. Music is a tone. Music is a journey. You know, when you start a journey, like, I mean, music for me, I do steps to to Cotton Eye Joe. I dance steps to it to get some exercise in. You'd be surprised. You can get 500 steps in dancing to Cotton Eye Joe, one song. So it's like the movement, the music, the energy. When you make noise, you are alive. And I love the metaphor and the way this was presented and put out there. Great, right? And what did you think, Weaver?
Yes, I can agree with that totally. Let's make noise. Yes. I don't talk a lot in normal life. I tend to be a listener. But I do love music. It brings me out of myself a bit more, I think. But yes, silence is golden for a lot of people. But the noise, the energy just runs through music and basically makes you, if you want to get up and sing or get up and dance, that is amazing. That is what music's for, I think. Throw my voice out. I've never indulged in karaoke because I'd have to be so drunk before I got up that I probably couldn't talk. So wouldn't work. But I used to love line dancing. I thought it was just the best ever. Love the music and love the whole aspect of line dancing. And it was great fun. So yes, let's make noise. It's the bestest.
Absolutely. Very well said. I totally agree. Let's make noise. Let's live. And where are we going next?
We're going to Locomotive by Dash Pat One. Well, I'll read this one, shall I? I will read this one, yes. Locomotive. Oh, look at this. Oh, weird face. Right. Locomotive. I'd like to tie you down onto the railroad tracks, positions to face the train's direction, an acute relationship insurrection, metaphor eye to eye, immobilize your head and neck, gorilla glue your eyelids open. The rope is a little loose in spots, a trap I set to watch you struggle. When you find you're only tightening knots, it's about to pass the hidden Robocop when you first will hear the train horn in the distance. You wish you could turn your senses off. It's too late now to regret your fault. You can feel the vibration of the track. Screeching brakes are screaming back. Locomotive face approaching fast. Smash. End poem. That's a bit of light relief.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like
to
comment on
it? It always... you know, when someone can take an image like that and pull out locomotive out of that, and you know, it does look like a locomotive and somebody sitting in the front of it ready to have it crash into their life, into their person. And life is a locomotive sometimes, and you can't stop it, and you can't change the path that locomotive is on. Train tracks go one way and one way only. And if you're in the middle of it, you're going to be smashed. And this one talks of, you know, setting someone else up into a situation where they're positioned on the railroad tracks to face the train's direction. I mean, that's a place where you get with people in life sometimes. Your relationships are locomotive in some senses. And I just love, and I like the local, because local, when you say locomotive, it's a train. But when you say local, it's like crazy. And when your life feels like a train wreck or feels like a train coming at you, or when you want somebody else's life to feel like a train coming at them, that's local. That's locomotive. Well done. And I hope Dash Part One, I hope I did justice, or Dash Pat, sorry, to this piece, because I love what it gave, the message it gave to me, and what I felt with it and read from it. Amazing message. And thank you for sending that in. And what did you think there, girl?
Yeah, yes, this is a powerful poem. This is really powerful. But, I mean, really, there's a lot of pain. I know it's metaphorical. I know that, you know, he's not going to be tying anybody down anytime soon. But it gives you the feeling of what that must feel like to be let down or used to that effect.
Yeah.
You know, that is sad. That's really sad. And then you realize you've been used. So you can see why. I just love the fact that he's written this telling us exactly how he feels. I mean, this is, as I say already, it's very powerful. I'd love the, oh my goodness, immobilize your head and neck, gorilla glue your eyelids open. Oh, that's so vicious. The rope is a little loose in spots, a trap I set to watch you struggle. So good. I mean, so much thought put into this. Wow, it's almost as if he's done it before. I think it's very, very good. But that last smash, I mean, that's visceral. Yes, I think it's so well written. It gave me goosebumps. -pat1, thank you so much.
Yeah, I just read the author's notes too, and like I was way, way off there. But when I read about it and reread it and read the author's notes and listen to you, Weaver, it is like the feeling of being used and what you want to do to them. I mean, we have all been used, and we all have our semblance of revenge, because being used is one of the travesties of being let down by people. And it's one of the larger travesties of being let down by people, because people, we can hurt each other. And when we use people, that's exactly what we do. And yeah, we're in a place where, you know, if you do that to someone, of course, they're going to want it really well put and love the energy and the message and everything. I'm really glad that I read that a second time. Thank you, -pat1, for sending that in. Great emotion in there. And where are we going next?
We're going to What Once Was by Sherry Ann. Would you like to read this, my dear?
Yeah, What Once Was by Sherry Ann. What once was is now lost. Time drifts slowly to winter's way. Once supple and shiny green, drinking fine champagne like a queen, blown easily in brisk breeze off the limb, once home, silently sailing without a compass. It's just the way time passes, landing on a red park bench. I'll be still here for a while, limp and almost gone, a timeless story of what once was. End poem. Amazing brevity, beautiful brevity, and written to the image of a leaf laying on a red park bench. And that leaf is a symbol of what once was. And look at the withering of the leaf and the spots and the crumpled edges and the chipping edges, you know, is what, and like the description, what was once supple and shiny green, drinking fine champagne like a queen, you know, that leaf from its outlet is out for in life, landing on a red park bench. I'll be still here for a while, limp and almost gone, a timeless story of what once. Great metaphor to describe what you had at one time and what you don't have now. A leaf, taking a leaf on a park bench to life and bringing it to meaning, bringing it to a place of what, representing what once was. Just really well written. And Weaver, what did you see on this?
Oh, yes. Again, this is pathos and sadness, remembering what things were. Time drifts slowly to winter's way, once supple and shiny green. Oh, and then blown very easily because you are getting dry and sailing, silently sailing without a compass. It's just the way time passes. I'll landing on a red park bench. I'll be still here for a while, limp and almost gone, a timeless story of what once was. That is really, really beautiful and very clever to look at this leaf and build all this story around it about one what once was. And, it, you know, it starts off, it's beautifully grown and green and sitting on a branch, and then time passes and off we go. And we end up on a red park bench. I think it's just, it's a story of life. It's just a story of life passing, life going on, and life leaving. Just wonderfully done. I really enjoyed that, Sherri-Ann. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the fact that it takes in that place of, you know, that leaf was once beautiful and green and shiny and alive and no crinkles and no chips and everything. And to me, it's like almost like the aging process too, because that was the aging process of the leaf. But the aging process in us, you know, what once was, youth once was, and life and energy. And it's sad, but it's true. What once was, really well written. And where are we going next?
Well, just give me one little moment because I haven't refreshed and I'm still in yesterday, I think. Oh, dear. I have it up, Truly Dead Red. This is not one we've read before, is it? Truly Dead Red?
No.
I'm ahead of myself. You see, I go ahead of myself to try and keep things running along smoothly and end up forgetting what I'm doing. So we've got it, Truly Red Dead. That's good. I've done that. So, I will read this one, Truly Red Dead. Dead Red. Inquiries are nearly interlayered in my DNA, still from vegetable knives that left me looking like a verified tiger. All I have to do is raise my tattered flesh and see if you are still smiling or licking your lips, still laughing or running away from my deviancy. Abroad, the countries you've seen are surely more hospitable than mine. Masticating diseased food in our growing shelter, a mass of decay, and I'm a broad byproduct. Toxic lipstick, favorite shade of truly dead red. I still hope one day your lips might wear me. End poem.
Mm-hmm. Powerful, truly red, truly dead red, and the image there, dreaming still you're. Darcy, great, right? The image here is, you know, it's almost like a breakup. And it's all, everything is all over. The rest is tattered flesh. Licking your lips, still laughing. You are still smiling or licking your lips, still laughing or running away from my deviancy abroad. And the reading the author's notes, it's like, yeah, a breakup, like a letting go. And not always a want to let go, but a have to let go. And then, you know, talks in the author's notes about, you know, the imagination and too much time to think and the imagination and where it can go in it. And says it's so dangerous at this point. So to me, it sounds like, yeah, it's over. Truly dead red. It's over. And great description and choice of words. Very well done, Sean. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you see?
Oh, yes. This is somebody who, he says he wears his scars. And he wears his scars and doesn't mind people seeing the scars of what's happened to him in his life. But yes, this is somebody who's been really hurt, and very sad. Yeah. Again, you got the ending, which I love. I'm a like byproduct toxic lipstick in your favorite shade of truly dead red. I still hope one day your lips might wear me. Yes, that says it all, doesn't it? So desperate to get close to the person that he loves, he will do anything. Yes, I found this very touching, Sean. I liked it a lot, and thank you so much for sharing it.
Mm-hmm. All righty, where are we going next?
We have He Will Call by Sia Ray. Did I read last or did you?
Yes, you did. I will read this by Sia Ray, He Will Call.
Thank you.
Great, beautiful image. Oh, the sky. Awake, many, with internal drums beating, a painful irregular thump, needed, sedating, to aid one's crawling over daily, tragically ascending, life-threatening hump, until a promised new heaven plus a new earth, where righteousness dwells, prevails, while over international flowing rivers, global mountains, seemingly drying up love, hewn out wells, erupt human volcanoes, boiled over angry red lava rapidly, in fear of victory, our trembling hearts pump. A victim or villain into one category, sin and imperfection lump all death. Dumped us, jailed, everyday violence descends, bodies are tagged, hope falters as stars fall. He falls, darkness, enlightenment recalls. He will call. End poem. Great, strong, powerful message here of the world and what the world is like, you know. The earth as it is, the world as it is, drying up love, tune out wills, temperatures erupt, human volcanoes boiled over angry red lava. Like, that's the state of our world today. That's the state of our earth. And this writer sees that this will change. This, you know, in the voice of He Will Call, this will change. This will cease to be, and be it the calling of a power that can change these things. Because man is not able to do it today and be that power there, and he will call, then, you know, maybe there will be that peace in the world, that lack of chaos and lack of what this poem describes in its energy, the anger and everything, the heart's pump. Powerful, right? And I'm going to let you comment on this, Weaver, because this is just a beautiful write, and I want to read the author's note.
Yes, of course, no problem. Yes, there's an awful lot of belief in this, knowing that in this particular person's life, there is something to aspire to. Something to expect, that there will be somebody who will get this world back on its axis. And hopefully that happens. I would be very, very, very pleased to see all the wrongs being righted and all the people who do wrong being taught not to through love, which is basically what we have here. You know, it's not going to be a cane. It's going to be a candy cane. It's going to be a nice change as far as this poet's concerned, which I think is lovely. It must be wonderful to have that kind of faith. And I do think it's great that anyone can put what they want out for us to listen to and get their point across. And I think that's also wonderful. free speech is a wonderful thing. So yes, I thought this was very, very powerful and very interesting to me. So thank you very much for sharing.
Mm-hmm. I usually, you know, for myself, religion is not a topic that I can usually write to so well, you know. And for me, like, you know, from my childhood, I have my beliefs of what would happen in the world, what would happen to the world. And the Bible quotes in here of you know, that the kingdom would appear instantly and rescue them from Roman oppression. Like, there's hope in the title, there's hope in the message, and there's hope in the ending. And if you, like you say, to have that faith, if that's where your faith dwells and that's where it comes from for you, you know, that's powerful and that's great. That's a good place to be. I'm sure that fathers with peace and serenity. And for myself, I never think of what will come. I always think of the balance. The world will balance. We will have balance. And I don't know what it looks like, but I believe my faith says we will have balance. But strong peace, strong right. And thank you very much for sending that in. And what do we have next?
We have While I Should Be Sleeping. Shall I read this one? Yay, I shall read this one.
Mm-hmm.
While I Should Be Sleeping. Oh. When the lights are out, unrealistic things appear. Without a sound, they come, as a mist under the doors. Unicorns, trolls, vampires, leprechauns, goblins, fairies, creatures and beasts alike. They come with a story to tell. Reality fades as I'm pulled deeper into the creative fantasies. 8 hours of sleep isn't enough, and getting up is just too tough. End poem. Oh, so good.
Wow.
Mm.
While I Should Be Sleeping. Now, that's a strong piece as well. And I really, while I should be sleeping, when the lights are out, unrealistic things appear. So what comes out when you're not supposed to be sleeping, you know? In the darkness, yes, some come in the darkness and they don't manifest themselves, but they do for you when you think you should be sleeping. And while you're sleeping, these kind of things appear and stuff like that. But what about fairies and mermaids and unicorns and castles and princesses and stuff like that? When you're sleeping, those things can come too, right? So I enjoyed this. This was well written. Very much enjoyed. Thank you very much. And what did you think, Peter?
Yes, well, I kind of, you know, I'm a bit of a sucker for all these darker sides of life. Unicorns and trolls and vampires are just my cup of tea. I enjoy them a lot, and I like writing about them. And here's someone who can get all that, gets all these stories while he's sleeping. Huh, I like it. That is some kind of sleep. That's a deep, deep sleep. It's very. I do envy anybody who can sleep, which is a problem. But when the lights are out, unrealistic things appear without a sound. They come into the creative fantasies. 8 hours sleep isn't enough, and getting up is just too tough. Yeah, that's just beautifully written, and I think that's a lovely thought, isn't it? That you can get all these things in your life that you wouldn't even begin to believe in come to you in your dreams. I once woke up and quickly wrote down a dream I'd had. It's the first time I've ever done it. And it was the oddest thing. So I can understand that you would get the creativity that you need or you want when you're asleep, as long as you're very quick and write it down or it will go. Yes, I think this is very well written and a lovely concept. While I Should Be Sleeping. Very well done. Thank you.
Yep, I enjoyed it too. While I Should Be Sleeping, these kinds of things are going on around me. Very, very well. So what... Where are we going now?
we have Pouting in the Pouring Rain by Darkened Auras. Mm-hmm. Would you like to read that, my dear?
We saw this image before, but it was a different rite. Oh, okay. Pouting in the pouring rain. She's standing in the pouring rain, disguising her own tears by a mighty oak. Her bark wasn't worse than his bite. Locked out of the only home she knows, cold and shivering, and the only light she sees is from the streetlight flickering above her head. End poem. Pouting in the pouring rain. Well written, very well written, Dark Nora. Enjoy this brevity. It captures that image and grabs a place, takes all of us to a place all of us have probably been before in the rain, feeling the tears and trying to be held up by the tree and needing the tree to lean into because there's nothing else to lean into. You can't lean into the rain and because it's so inconstant. It's just amazing metaphors and imagery for this image. I'm really glad we saw a piece written to this image again today. I enjoy that when that happens. And what did you think, Weaver?
I think we have already heard this one. I think this was the one that I read when you, or maybe not. No, it's not. It's just the same image.
No.
You're right. Yes. Sorry. I thought, great. So she's standing in the pouring rain, disguising her own tears, held up by a mighty oak. Her bark wasn't worse than his bite. Oh, cold and shivering. Oh, that's very sad. That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not nice. Standing in the pouring rain, poor girl. Yes, I don't. Let's go around and get him. He needs to be got. Give him a good slap. Pouting in the pouring rain. I'm not surprised she's pouting. Beautiful. I mean, this gives you the feeling of, being totally dejected, being totally fed up. And the injustice of it, that you're in the pouring rain, it's awful. I think she's portrayed somebody being, basically thrown out of their own home very, very well. Because that's how you'd feel. You only see the light from the streetlights. And there's nothing else for her. I think this is really well done. Thank you very much, Dark and Dorot.
I agree. I very much agree. So where are we going? We have time for a couple more for sure.
Oh, is that time already? Good heavens. The time's flown. Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I Still Seek You by Chris Tourette's. Will I read this or will you read this? I'll read this.
Yeah.
Okay. I Still Seek You. Between the sweep and swoosh of light blue waves, tracing scalloped lace on dark beige sand, amongst the shrill calls, bounce balls, beyond salt tangs, I seek you and see myself. End poem. Nice play on words.
Mm-hmm.
So, over to you, my darling.
Very nice brevity, very enjoyable. Light-hearted and a gentle feeling and reflecting on seeking out the blue waves, seeking out the ocean, and reflecting on how they see themselves. You know, she seeks out the ocean so she can find herself. It's a great brevity, really enjoyable piece. And I like some of the words, scalloped lace. I mean, I might have to steal that. I mean that creates just an image of beauty, dark beige sand. Just the imagery is just amazing. Really well written, Chris. Just that. Thank you for sending that in. And what did you feel on this Weaver?
Yeah, that I'm damaged to start with. But yes, as you say, scarlet lace on dark beige sand, which is exactly what it is when the waves come pouring up onto the sand. It just looks like that. I see, but I just, again, caught by that last couple of lines. I seek you and see myself. It's lovely. Because that's everything you have on a lovely summer's day on a beach. You have the sea and the sand and the children playing with their balls and the smell of the sea. All of it's there, and it just is so emotive. I think it's captured everything. But doesn't that figure look quite sad, sitting by herself? I mean, obviously, that's why it was written the way it was, but just beautiful. I thought it was very well taken from the picture prompt. Chris Tourette's, I think it was lovely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very lovely indeed, and took gold in the 30 words or less brevity.
Mm-hmm.
Really well done. And what do we have for next?
We have Wishes and Dreams by Owen Nichols. Would you care to read this, please?
Wishes and Dreams. I once believed in all that Jiminy said, worked hard and strived. Reality pounded down on me, trying to break my dreams. Till at the last, I wished for a day without heartache and dream no more. End poem. Quite the brevity to sum up Wishes and Dreams. What do you feel on this one?
I think this is just wonderful. I'm presuming Jiminy is Jiminy Cricket. That's lovely, all that Jiminy said. Work hard and strive. Reality pounded down on me. Oh, that's there. That's reality for you. It's a pain in the proverbials. Once you have to face reality, your dreams are gone and you just have to accept. But, you know, you can always dream. You can dream. You know you can. Just put your mind to it. Yes, I think this is lovely. The reality pounded down on me, trying to break my dreams till at last I wish for a day without heartache and dreamed no more. That's incredibly sad, as somebody's life broken. Yes, I thought that was beautifully written. Thank you very much, Owen.
Yes, indeed. And I like that line, reality pounded down on me, trying to break my dreams. I mean, we have dreams. But reality in life has a way of getting in our way, a way of changing the outcome of our wishes and dreams, and not always what we wish for and not always what we dream of. Are we going to get or are we going to be? And then, you know, the wish for a day without heartache. And I dreamed no more. To me, that says, you know, like I realized that there – life without heartache is not possible, you know. And it's really, really good metaphor, great imagery. Awesome right there, Owen. Thank you for sending this in. And where are we going next?
So we have time for another one. Yes. Just give me a moment. Hopefully. Oh, come on. It's playing up again. I don't like this when it happens. Here we have, right, we've got one here. We have Silkened by Boudou. I shall read this one, shall I? Yes. Oh, what a beautiful face. Okay. Her tressed splendor spills of ebony, flow downstream like prized mink. Swaddling in winter's frozen breath, I weave fingers through rims of soft, filamented strands of silk, entangling captive thoughts entwined, grasping for that nape of origin in milky, velvety, smooth skin. Me boiling over with pure chagrin, allowing inner infernal destinations, a futile attempt to best her. As she turns in grace gesture and gazes right through the heart of me, in her style, in her time, all the while revealing an arc of brilliant ivory, transcending all I am, and ephemerally, sorry about that, end poem.
Great read, great write, great imagery in here. Her tress bells of ebony flow downstream like prized mink, swaddling in winter's frozen breath. I love the imagery. I love the picture that this brings out. And the imagery, again, is just unbelievable. Her tress splendor spills of ebony. Great opening. Now, I am always a sucker for absolutely brilliant openings. I see contests where they have, they say, we don't want the poem, we want the first three lines. And they judge based on how the first three lines captivate and capture you and take you into more of the piece. And this one definitely does that. It captures me right from the first lines and the title, Silken. There's a flow that goes with it, and the energy and flow that's in this piece, and it's on a hair prompt, Asian beauty. And I can imagine and see the beauty and the, like, in grasping for that native origin in milky, velvety, smooth skin. There's the silken title gives such a gentle, velvety, smooth, caressing, just beautiful feel and mood to it, and was really well written. Thank you very much, Boodle. And what did you feel on this one, Weaver? You can take us out.
Well, I have to say, I have to apologize for stuttering through that. I do apologize, but it was beautiful. Excuse me. I love the me boiling over with pure chagrin, allowing inner infernal destinations a futile attempt to best her. That's just lovely. You know, you try your best, but she still doesn't care, looks right through you. Yes, I think it was beautifully written, and I just thought the words used were wonderful. So yes, beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Bidu. And over to you, Pam, you want to say? Oh, God. Sorry, I apologize. Over to you, Diane.
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much, Weaver, for joining me and for us getting together and doing the show today. Really enjoyed the show, and thank you to the people on the board, Christophette and Adam and Pam and you guys all on the board. Thanks for joining us, and a great show. And you know, what your poetry means to us is what we portray on the show. What we put out is what it gives us, and the feeling and the mood and energy that it peaks in us and everything. So we give that back to what we read from your poetry, and hopefully we're able to bring out what your intention was. But great write today. Beautiful write. Thank you all so much. And that, did you have a word out, Weaver?
Just the same as you, I'd like to thank everybody for sending in their poetry. I apologize for being a little bit off today. No excuses, I'm just very tired, that's all. So hopefully I'll sleep more and I'll get better. And thank you so much, Diane, and I apologize for always using the wrong name. What a twit I am. But it was a lovely show, and thank you so much for sharing it with me.
Hey, it's okay. You can call me worse than Pam Ray.
Oh, dear. I feel all so
right.
Sorry for me.
You have a great weekend. We'll catch up.
Yes, my darling. You too. And goodbye to everybody. Bye.
Bye.